Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You guys, we are so excited to really be inviting onto our little overshare show somewhat of a podcasting icon and legend when it comes to relationships. Today, our guest is Lindsay Metzeler.
We're going to talk about worst rejection stories.
We got back together and then he broke up with me again. So like, I should have known this was going to happen.
Twice.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode of Overshare. I'm Jocelyn here with my girl Lily. And if you're watching on video, you can see her sweet pup, Max, my nephew.
He's feeling neglected. He wanted to be involved.
Oh my gosh. Literally, he's just a growing boy. Yes. He's getting so big. Also, this is a podcast. Hello, as hopefully you guys know. So if you're new here, if you haven't subscribed, please do that. Please give us a little review. That's super helpful.
A positive one.
Please rate us 5 stars. We would so appreciate it. And also, this is a YouTube video. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, just know that next week, this will be on our YouTube channel.
So many options.
Lil, are you ready to jump in or what?
I think we should jump in.
So, over it.
What she said.
Okay, Lil, what are you over this week?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. This is something very timely. So, on the day we're recording this episode, it is July 30th. And today, this morning, we were greeted by not just one, but 2 earthquakes. And I've just, you know, like Lily and I both, California kids, I have grown up around earthquakes. I remember the big Northridge earthquake like it was yesterday. But here's my bone to pick with earthquakes, okay?
What bone do you have to pick, Josh?
I have a massive gear to grind with this specific natural disaster. Now, not with all natural disasters, but with some, you can get a little warning. Earthquakes, first off, there's no warning ever. And secondly, always in the middle of the night. Always when you're asleep, never during the day. And I'm sick of it. I'm over it. I don't want any more.
What time did it happen?
4:30 a.m.
So I didn't go to sleep until like 3. So I didn't wake up.
Really? It was like definitely probably a lot bigger for you where you live than it was for me.
Which I agree. And literally, I think I'm most impressed. One, that none of the things fell off because I was sleeping on my couch. None of these fell off. And the shelves themselves didn't fall off, which means that I put them up pretty securely, which is
impressive.
Shocking, actually.
No, but I saw a girl in Beverly Hills post that like all her stuff fell off her shelves and was like shattered.
That I literally woke up and like went on Twitter and I was like, what do you mean? And then I like looked around. It was like, my bong's okay. The shelves are still up. Max seems fine. I don't know.
Yeah, we had 2. And then we had another one like a little bit later, but it was like significantly smaller.
And I was awake for that one. Didn't feel it.
And I'm curious, what's your opinion, okay, on the concept of 4 shocks? Like, not aftershocks, but pre-shocks. They're called, I think they're called 4 shocks.
Oh, I've never heard
so,
that.
So like, where there is a bunch of little earthquakes are supposed to signal a bigger one. Is that actually, you think, true or just like fake tea?
Not, Are you referring to like in the same day?
Yeah. Or in general. I don't know.
Because I know in general when it's like a bunch of like medium-sized ones over the course of a few years, like that's why they keep saying the big one is coming, because they say it's almost like a pressure cooker that like eventually it's like going to just be like,
but that'll probably just be the end of the world, don't you think?
I don't know. Like, and what was, so I also slept through the Northridge earthquake.
That's crazy, Lil.
I'm a heavy sleeper, I guess. But, yeah, literally, my parents had to, like, run into the room and, like, get me. I remember we all, like, stood in the middle of the street in the neighborhood afterwards. But I don't remember ever growing up thinking that earthquakes were, like, terrifying, because I don't feel like I ever actually felt one that was that bad. It would just be like, what was that? The last couple years, there have been some that I was in the bathroom. I'd just gone out of the shower, and it literally felt like It felt like I was on a boat. That it was like, oh my God, why is the whole, like, everything was just moving like crazy. And then a time in my old apartment, which that building was real old, I swear I was just like editing in silence just in my living room, and I had my coffee table like pulled up. So it was like everything just started like wobbling back and forth, and it felt like it lasted like 30 seconds. And I had never felt anything like that. Was this one of the rolly ones or one of the rumbly ones?
This was more of like one quick jolt. And then kind of shook out from there. So they were both very short. And also, like,
the first one was... What'd you guys do?
So we were asleep for the first one. And it was, like, a 4.5. So you could feel it. But we just... It was quick. So, like, I wait to see, like, how long it's going and if it's getting stronger. Because, like, the Northridge earthquake, for example, I can't believe you slept through that. Because that earthquake was huge. And it was going for a really long, long, long time. And, like, my parents have a pool... Literally, you could see massive waves coming out of the pool, like, because that's what it kind of creates.
Well, that's, I feel like even there was
water's empty.
Either sometime in the last 2 years, there was one that a lot of people uploaded pool footage, and it was like tons of sloshing around. And that was the first time that I ever felt actually scared, because those ones last so long that you're like, is it getting stronger? Oh my God, what do I do? Do you have an emergency kit?
Oh my gosh. Well, I always keep earthquake shoes, which are like an old pair of tennis shoes. I keep them in my car. Chris is like, what are these old? You don't have earthquake shoes? Lily, your mom wants to have earthquake shoes.
I have an emergency kit with, like, you know, water, a solar charger, and things that would actually come in handy. Why would you not have, what's wrong with your normal shoes?
Well, what if I don't have on shoes? What if I have on like a chic slide? That's not good in an earthquake. What if I have on like a kitten heel? That's not good in an earthquake.
Are your shoes like really hard to access? Where are your earthquake shoes stored?
Well, I have my earthquake. I have one pair of earthquake shoes stored in the trunk of my car. Because what if you're on the road and you're wearing like a nice boot or something and you need your earthquake shoes? I always keep an old pair of tennis shoes in the trunk of my car for an earthquake. But you make a good point. I have nothing else.
My sister, as you would imagine, is very passionate about
earthquake kits,
emergency safety, and forced me to get a bunch of stuff. I don't even know what's in it. We tested emergency stuff in that episode on Shared that time.
We sure did. What are you over, Lil?
I'm like, sorry, I kind of just went on to yours. I feel like I've been over similar things in the past, but why are Clorox wipes still not available anywhere? Literally, Lisa has given me like one from her personal stash that she has. But then also, I think she actually even a couple days ago found me one. She like went to Target and they just restocked. But we have gone in the morning. We've gone at night. We've gone different days. They never have them anywhere.
It's because and I've gone
to CVS, Walgreens, Target, Walmart, Ralph's.
So Clorox wipes are like one of the main things that I heard we're not even going to be able to get until next month at all because of some sort of shipping issue, because they're all coming from China.
Sense. I thought people were just like still buying it. I'm like, I just need to clean my counters and stuff. And I know I could use other stuff, but I just love Clorox wipes.
I know. And I had a few and like containers, and I sent them to my friends on the East Coast because they obviously like can't even really go outside. I guess it's gotten a lot better. COVID has in New York, but like they have kids and stuff. And so I sent them Clorox wipes because they're just like, it's so dirty and we don't know what to do.
It's insane how I'm also over the fact that it feels like so much time is passing, but also it's going so slow.
I saw someone post something that was like, I can't tell if it's October or Thursday or 8 p.m. Are they different?
No. Time is just a construct.
Oh my gosh. Well, at least we have each other and at least we have this show. And I'm excited to meet our guests today.
I know. Shall we bring her in?
Let's do it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You guys, we are so excited to really be inviting onto our little overshare show somewhat of a podcasting icon and legend when it comes to relationships. Today, our guest is Lindsay Metzeler. I said it correctly, right?
Yeah, you crushed it.
Great. Thank you so much. She is the host of We Met at Acme. And I'm just going to like right up front tell you this. So Lily and I are both from LA. And I thought Acme was a comedy club. So like, I assume, which it is a comedy club, I think in like Chicago or something, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe. I was like, oh, she's a comedian. Like I had no idea what Acme even was. I had to do some deep diving. So like, what is Acme?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. And there are moments where I like to think that I'm a comedian as well. So I'm glad that we both think that. But Acme is actually a bar in the city. And it's like kind of like one of those, I don't know if I'd call it a speakeasy, but it's in the basement of a restaurant. So you have to like know the bouncer to
get in. That's fun. I feel like, is it something that's been there also for a very, very long time?
Forever, yeah.
And like
forever.
It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I mean, it is right now. It doesn't exist, sadly.
Well, I mean,
but hopefully if the world comes back to normal, it will live on.
Fingers crossed. I don't feel like LA has any like staple places that you could even make a podcast because it would be closed like a year later.
Yeah, like We Met at Delilah.
Yes. You know what? I was trying to think and I was like, We Met at Bungalow. I was like, I just feel like such a douchebag even saying that out loud. Like, yeah. I can't do it, you know?
Yeah, it's difficult.
I was gonna, so what's the vibe there? Explain, like, if you've never been there before, what do you expect?
So the vibes have changed throughout the years, but the vibe at its peak is like all different kinds of people. We've got like the bros, like the finance bros. We've got like the downtown hipsters. We've got like the fun, like music buffs, you know, it's like a mix of like everyone that you could find in the city, like the poets, like, I don't know, everyone comes out to play at Acme. It's like really a melting pot. And that's why it's so fun. And that's why there are high chances that you meet at Acme.
Yeah. Have you ever actually met anyone you dated at Acme?
I did, and it was post podcast release. And so, but for some weird, warped reason, he thinks that I named the podcast because I met him at Acme. It was a guy I went on like 3 dates with, and now that's his shtick when he goes on dates. He's like, you know, the podcast we met at Acme? He's like, yeah, that was named after
me. Does that work for him?
It honestly does. Like a few different girls have messaged me and they've been like, hey, I met the guy you named the podcast after. And I'm like, oh, he needs to stop doing this, you know?
Delta Bravo. But you're currently thriving in a new relationship in quarantine in a gorgeous location. So major props to you on all of those things. But like, I didn't want to introduce my parents to my boyfriend, who's now my husband, like ever. I was like, can they just meet on the wedding day? You know? So like, how did you just rip the Band-Aid so early? Because I find that to be very impressive.
So it actually wasn't my choice. My parents are like very Jewish and overbearing. So they would like FaceTime me every night, and I was quarantined with my boyfriend, and we were in New York City at the time. And I mean, how I couldn't really hide him every night when they were FaceTiming. So I was just like, okay, you know, you can meet virtually. And then, you know, again, like overbearing. So my parents were like, come be with us, like come be with us, like get tested and come be with us. And, you know, I knew that it was too soon. But then a few months had passed and I was like, OK, well, now we've been dating like 4 months, which is still too soon. But let's go live with my parents.
Well, also, it's like, and it doesn't seem like the quarantine is really changing.
Right.
So like, might as well just settle in.
Yeah. Like, do we want to be in my small apartment in the city, or do we want to crash my parents?
I mean, I want to be at your parents' house, honestly, after seeing some of the photos on your Instagram. It looks fantastic.
Honestly, anyone that I've seen staying at their parents' house, especially in California, too, they're all like just hanging out at the pool and like their parents are cooking them dinner. And I'm like, I'm getting takeout every day and I have no pool. I want that.
Yeah. Well, that's the one sacrifice I've made is I do all the cooking and like the cleaning, like all of that stuff. Like my parents, it was like an unspoken thing almost. It was like the second I got here, I became like the head of the household, and they could just like lay back and relax, which is fine. I'll take it.
It's like the opposite of back home ballers.
We're going to talk about worst rejection stories. I'm going to go last just to prevent anyone that might be listening from hearing it, because I hope that they're not going to be. But Jocelyn, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So I always say, like, you know, and you have a relationship podcast. I feel like you're way more of an expert because you're like diving into these topics so much more and have like so much more perspective on them. But I always tell people, like, all of your relationships have to typically be a failure until you find one person that you want to be with for a while or forever, right? Like, failure is like, it's going to happen literally all the time. That's just the way that it works. So yeah. That's what I tell myself when I think about my dating history. I did not get married till I was 37, which, you know, I feel like people need to hear more often that you're not like finding someone to marry as a senior in college and everything is perfect. But my story is specifically from college. So when I was, I want to say, a junior in college, I moved to Washington, D.C. to do an internship. And I had just broken up with a very long-term boyfriend that I was with for like way too long, starting in high school and through college. He was the sweetest guy, but I was the worst girlfriend. Like, I had absolutely no business being in a long-term relationship. I paid no attention to him. I never talked to him. I was just like waiting for something to happen so that it could be over and I wouldn't be responsible for it, which it did, which was great. So then cut to, I go off on this adventure in Washington, D.C. And I'm like, at that point in my life, I was really big into like having people take me seriously. I used to like go to bars in D.C. and like wear fake glasses so people would think I was more sophisticated and serious. Like, in D.C., I feel like the culture, have you spent any time there, Lindsay?
I have, actually, but not enough.
Okay, so coming from L.A., which, you know, Lily and I are both L.A. natives, I'm used to like a totally different vibe in L.A. where, you know, people are not talking about like what's happening on C-SPAN. No one probably even knows like who the vice president is. This is like many years ago, like 20 years ago. So take that with a grain of salt. But so I moved to D.C. and I'm surrounded by all of these like young people with political ambitions. They were all like very smart and very different from what I was accustomed to in Orange County, which is where I was going to college. So I met this guy who lived down the hall from me, and I could just picture him right now. He looked like a young Matthew McConaughey, and he was just really cool and super hot. And I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship. And even though I was young and should have been dating a lot, like, so awkward, no idea how to date, no idea what to do. And he lived down the hall from me next to the trash chute. So I decided, like, okay, I'm just always going to be in charge of taking out the trash inside of this tiny apartment that I live in. And I mean, girls, I would take out the trash like 7 times a day just with like the hopes of possibly running into him because like that's where I was at. It was very pathetic. So cut to, there was one night that it started snowing and all these California kids that I lived with were like, oh my gosh, freaking out. Like they had never seen snow. So what do they proceed to do? Myself included, everyone just got super wasted. And we're just like making snow angels for the first time in the streets of DuPont Circle and just like acting like total idiots, right? And then somehow I found myself alone with this guy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited that finally something's going to happen. And this is when he says to me, he's like, oh, Jaws, I think you're so great. Like, I think I was even like going in for a kiss, by the way, which this is like 20 years ago.
Making the move.
Which honestly is so off brand for me. Like, I am just like always letting the guy make the first move. That's kind of like a mantra of mine. Like, I'm super non-traditional in most aspects of my life, but with relationships, I just like whatever those traditional dynamics are. So this was very off brand for me. I was like, I am like a young, free woman. I'm going to make the first move. And then he goes, Jaws, I just love hanging out with you so much. I just love you so much. Just like, I feel like you're my sister. And I was like, oh my gosh, truly never in my life. And it wasn't even like the worst rejection. It could have been worse. But however, I think the use of those words specifically, like, and now I think about like guys, I've probably done that too. Like, you're like a brother to me. Like, I love you like a brother. Say,
I don't truly feel like guys do that to girls very often. That's very much like a movie line.
I feel
it's
like
such a movie line.
It was, yeah, I felt like I was living in a movie. And honestly, it's been 20 years and I'm happily married and I'm still not over it. I'm still angry.
Still scarred.
I still want to know what the F he meant. I mean, I used to see him like all the time after that because he was my neighbor, and I have truly never been more mortified in my life. I think, like, now thinking about it, telling someone that you like them like a sibling is the worst dig. Yeah.
Is it though? Or
you think?
Because here's my thought. Like, he didn't really know you in an intimate way yet. Like, you weren't right? Like, you were.
No, nothing had happened
up
at all. No.
So, like, I feel like it hurts more when you're hooking up and dating and having sex and then they reject you as opposed
that's
to
true
them, you know, as opposed
if they
to
just
them
like
just
cut
saying,
it off in the beginning.
Like, I don't even want to walk down this road. Like, what if he walk down that road, he would be obsessed with you, but he didn't know that because he didn't give it a chance, you know?
That is so kind of you to say, Lindsay. Thank you
it's
so
true
much.
It's
no,
true.
But
and very also rejection up front, guys will always change their minds. I feel like girls are a little more set in their ways, but like every guy that I've ever liked, even if they didn't like me up front, I feel like years later when it's like irrelevant and then I don't care anymore, then they come crawling back.
Always. Guys always come back. Also, before we keep going, I have to ask you guys, when are your birthdays? Because I'm super into astrology over there on my podcast.
Okay, wait, so we've only known each other now for like 15 minutes. Do you feel like you could guess our signs?
Oh, I could try. I feel like.
Or is that a bad, is that taboo?
No, I could try, but you have to work with me here, okay? I have one question.
Okay.
What was the weather like in New York City when you were born?
Like, gosh. Should we Google it?
No, like
no, just
think
guess
about the time of year and realize that the seasons.
Oh, I thought you meant like literally, like what was the
no.
I don't know.
Was it cold? Was it hot? Was it breezy?
Transitional. Chillier? Transitional for me. Transitional moment.
Okay. 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 And can I get three guesses for both?
Of course. Yes.
Okay. Jocelyn, we'll start with you. My first guess, and by the way, I could be completely off because I'm not an astrologer. I just think it's fun.
I'm curious.
Could you be an Aries, Jocelyn?
I could, but I'm not.
Okay.
By the way, I don't know anything about astrology. So that's why I'm like, I love all of this.
Okay. Well, transitional. I'm thinking spring vibes, but maybe
yes.
I'm not. I'm wrong.
Yes,
okay,
you're right.
Could
you're
you be
right.
Taurus?
I am indeed.
I knew it. See? Okay. It took me two. It took me two, but I got there. Okay. Lily. I'm feeling like a summer into fall energy, but I could be totally wrong. I'm gonna go with maybe Libra.
I've been told that I don't necessarily come across as my sign.
Okay, we're going, so it's transitional. I guess you could be spring too, but you guys being the same. Okay. Oh, you are an Aries.
Yes.
I knew it. I knew there was some Aries.
Second
in
guess
there.
On both. That's good.
There was Aries in there. So what's funny about you, Lily, is that I actually guessed the opposite of what you are. Not just different, but the opposite sign.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, that's my friend Jessie was like, "You're not an Aries," and she started freaking out. And then she looked up, and I don't know anything about astrology either, but she looked up my moons? Question mark.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I had something Taurus related there, and she was like, "That makes a little more sense."
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think that for your next podcast, you should do something strictly focused on like signs, horoscope, because all the episodes I've listened to of your show, like, you're so passionate and good at talking about it.
Thank you. I've had a lot of astrologers come on the podcast.
I mean, that parlays into relationships so well, so it would make sense.
Right. I'll send you those episodes. I feel like you would like them.
Perfect.
So wait, no, what do our signs, what does that mean about us? Do you know?
You are quite different in your sun signs. I guess, Lily, if you're a Taurus moon, you do have a lot of similarities with Jocelyn. But Aries tend to be very headstrong, like they act and then they think. This is just the sun sign. So like, this isn't the rest of your chart. I would have to know it, but
I freak
Aries
out halfway
tend
through
to be like very loyal to their friends and like, just, they don't like weak people. Like they're just like, they're more on the intense side. Taurus like love beauty and nice things and,
everything
like feeling secure and like their friends from when they were two and like that kind of vibe and like eating good food and sleeping a lot. Like they're
yeah,
just
that
very,
sounds great. That sounds great.
Pretty accurately described.
I'm here for all of that.
Yeah.
What's
are more like moving fast a lot.
I feel like my brain is moving fast and my body is not.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a Libra. I think that's what you were going to ask.
Yeah.
Me.
So wait, so that's happening. Your birthday must be soon, right? Is it? No, Leo.
September.
Season. It's Leo's.
We're in Leo now, then Virgo, then.
Okay. So what, tell us a little bit about like what your sign means. This is also interesting to me.
Yeah. It just means like it's the scales. So it's supposed to be like balanced, but ironically, like many Libras are not super balanced. The rest of my chart is Earth. So similar to you, Lily, I don't come off like my sign at all.
Interesting.
See, I feel like I'm not into astrology, but then when I do look stuff up, I'm like, oh, like that's actually really accurate. So I always am curious to look into it more, but then I feel like it's just going to turn into a deep dive that I never get out of.
It's true.
But what's your rejection story?
This one is the most annoying one for sure. I was dating this guy who was a complete douchebag. And like, I knew it going into it, you know?
Did he have a douchey name?
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
Two first names?
Like, you felt like afterwards, you're like, I should have known.
Yeah. I mean, there were tons of red flags. Like, there were like red flags dancing around me at all times. But I dated him anyway because like the sex was good and he was tall. And, It went on for clearly too long. Like he had like broken up with me and then asked me to get back together with him. Like that was like, I wouldn't even call that a red flag. That was like a clear sign, you know. We got back together and then he broke up with me again. So like,
oh,
I should have known this was gonna happen.
Twice.
But the second time, in between the first and the second time, we had gotten like much closer. So like hanging with each other's families. He invited me to like go visit his family. We had to like take a plane to get there. So it was like a whole thing. And then after, like, you know, I had no idea that he was going to break up with me. I legitimately thought I was doing him a favor by dating him. And then all of a sudden, he... On my birthday.
Stop. Shut up. No way.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, why? Why?
He takes me for a walk.
No.
And I legitimately thought that he was like getting me something absurd and we had to like go to Hermes, otherwise we wouldn't be able to pick it up. And he, not actually Hermes, like never. But yeah, he broke up with me and I was like so confused. And then I had all of these friends coming over for my birthday and I had to like come up with, like they were like, where's douchey name? And I was like, oh, I broke up with him. Like, I don't even know what I said. And like, I was like, I'll return to this later, but I don't want anyone to be like sad on my birthday for me, you know? So I was like, oh, we just like, we decided to break up. No, because
you were just like annoyed.
I was just like in such shock. Like, you know, when you just don't have emotions other than shock, I was just shocked.
Well, and if you were giving him the benefit of the doubt and then he ends it, you're like, what the fuck?
Right. It's like, I created you.
I mean, honestly, just to clarify, like he was like majorly blessed up to be dating you, obviously. Did you ever discover like why he chose your birthday? Like, why not wait till the next day? Like, who does that? That's like horrifying.
Someone that is a piece of shit that you knew was a piece of shit, but you dated anyway. So it's no one's fault but your own, I guess.
Oh my God.
I don't understand the logic there. Just like, just wait one more day. Yeah. Like, just
one more day.
Just a few more hours.
Don't want to get you a gift, which is truly low. Like, yeah. I've heard
that's probably what it was.
I've heard that happens a lot during the
holidays. Then
do it
the day before. Like, I just right. feels like lack of planning on so many different levels.
Right.
Also, question. How close was this to, like, when he took you to meet his family?
It was probably, let's see. It was, I would say, 3 weeks after that, maybe 2.5. And I also attribute that to it because I'm like, maybe he just like it got like too serious too soon, but also he's trash, so like it doesn't really matter what the
no excuse for the timing.
Do you keep friends, like friendships with any of your exes?
None. No.
Yeah, same.
I did, like, I've done the like let's be friends for like a little bit, but like no. I mean, also when like you're in a good relationship, like there's literally no, like you just realize how much all your exes suck. And you're like, there's no reason for me to talk to any of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm always like super perplexed, but like curious by, I have a lot of friends who are like inviting their like exes to their weddings. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know if it's a reflection on me.
There could be certain scenarios though, where it's like, especially if they've been like together for a really long time and they have so many mutual friends and there's overlap that it feels like, I don't know. I don't think I would want to go to my ex's wedding, but
no, I agree with you,
be nice.
There are some exceptions. Like, for example, my high school boyfriend, one of my good friends and his best friend are dating.
Okay.
So in bigger scenarios, we're hanging out. And like, I could invite him to my wedding. I probably won't, but I could and it wouldn't be weird. But like, that's only because of them dating. Has nothing to do with us.
Totally.
Like other people are keeping them in association.
Mm-hmm.
So Lil, I feel like it's your turn to share this story. By the way, Lindsay, I was like a witness to this whole situation that happened.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to, I don't want to take away from your shining moment, but this one is really good.
So basically it was 2 years ago now.
2 years ago.
At Coachella. And I'm there with Joss and one other friend, and they both, like, one of them was getting food, one's in the porta potty. So I'm sitting on the ground, really drunk, and I'm, like, on my phone or something, and this guy comes over, and he's like, hey, you look really fun, but lonely? And I'm like, I swear I have friends, like, they're coming. And then he decides to like stay and hang out and start talking to us. Jocelyn takes one for the team and starts talking to his just completely plastered friend. And Jocelyn's like, I'm in a serious way. I feel like you were engaged at the time.
I don't know if I was, but I was still like, also the guy I was talking to, I was like, what, 35 or something? And I think he was like 23. And you know, when people start throwing out like cultural references, like, oh my gosh, I loved growing up when I was listening to X, Y, and Z song. And you're like, I was definitely 27 when that song came out. That's what was happening.
I'd like look over and Jocelyn's just like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyways, like, continue.
So he ends up ditching his friends, which I guess he was with like a group of like 20 guys. And we had met, like ran into him when he was with like three, but ditches them too. Hangs out with just us three girls the rest of the night and is like, literally it's as if it's like the best first date ever. The next day is texting me all morning. Like, I haven't looked at the text in a while because this ends with Instagram DMs, but saying like, I thought it was going to be like, we never heard from him again. Wanted to meet up the next day. Ends up like texting me all day to like coordinate, meets up with us again, ditches all of his friends again, is literally like singing in sync with us, watching Ariana Grande. Fabulous weekend. Love it. He lives in San Francisco. So like, naturally, story of my life, not geographically desirable, but San Francisco is not that far. And I am a YouTuber that doesn't have a strict schedule at all. So it's right. Like a 45-minute flight. He texts me every day afterwards being like, oh my God, I come to LA all the time. Let me take you out. I want to take you to dinner. Blah, blah. He is pursuing this. I am not the one that's like, oh my God. He had a very douchey name. And I had a friend that yelled at me as soon as she found out. She goes, really? That's his name? And you're going to hang out with him? I was like, but like, ask Jocelyn. She met him. He seems great.
Right.
Well, after like a week or two of texting me every day, then the conversations start just getting like not even shorter. It's like he would text me and I'd respond and then he just like wouldn't respond. But he also had his red receipts on, which
I hate those.
You're a sociopath. That's a red flag. But then he would just not read them for 5 days. And when we had met him, I was vlogging the whole weekend, which he knew because obviously the camera was out and he's in, not like heavily in it, but obviously I was going to take advantage of the fact that we have pictures and stuff together. So if he was okay with it, it wasn't like a creepy, like, oh my God, I met my dream boy. It was like, I met a guy at Coachella and he's in some of the montages and we like describe how it happened.
Right.
Very, very innocent. He responded to the video at one point, like, he thought it was all great, loved it. He starts, like, spacing out these, like, it's not even, like, an actual conversation. It's, like, a one-sentence exchange to, like, 5 days, a week at a time, and then is surprised when I'm, like, okay, I don't, like, why are you even, like, I don't want to do this. Stop talking to me.
Right.
I feel like you have to know, too, Lily's, like, really, really straightforward. Like, one time she was kind of, she thought dating this guy, and, like, she just straight up texted him and was, like, so do you never kiss person on like a person on the first, second or third date? Or like, is that how you date? He was Canadian. She's like, is that how you date in Canada? Or is that just like, what's going on? So she has no problem being like very straightforward.
I love that. That's the Aries in
it's
her.
It's amazing.
Basically, this goes back and forth several times. And then he like would randomly, and I like told him off and we had like a not pleasant last conversation.
Right.
Months go by and me and Jocelyn are in London. No, we're in Paris for something. And he responds to one of my stories because we're wearing something weird. And he's like, what's going on here? And I'm like, what?
Why are you contacting me?
Like, no. And I was like, new phone, who dis? But it was Instagram DMs. And he said something back and it was basically like, ooh, why so harsh? And then I just sent back a flipping off emoji. And then he goes, hope you're kidding. I'd say somewhere in the middle. And he goes, that's unfortunate. I said, so was being ignored. And he goes, I didn't mean to blow you off. Seriously. I just live a busy life and I'm juggling a lot of shit right now. TBH. I wouldn't take it personally. We have a good time together. Wink. And I'm like,
ew.
He's also, this is literally the month that me and Jocelyn launched a company. I also had like chronic back pain that I was dealing with that I had been posting a lot about that he was very aware of. All of this work stuff going on. Our old company had gone bankrupt. Literally, he's like, I have a very busy life. I'm like, I'm literally on a work trip in Paris right now. Fuck off. Like, no. Yeah. You're the one reaching out to me.
He sounds married.
So, and that's what we assumed. It's like he had some other kind of situation that he was like, oh, crap, I can't talk to her anymore. So... Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, same, which is why I don't have time for someone who clearly doesn't give a shit. And then I just did a piece. And he goes, yikes, harsh. Okay, so long, I guess. And then at this point, I like was so just, I didn't care at all. And I was like, oh my God, he's such a douche. And does he really think he's going to come out of the woodwork after like months and just be like, what do you mean? So I was like, dude, you blatantly ignored me for most recently weeks when I reached out. So being busy doesn't excuse you being inconsiderate. And he goes, I understand and agree with you. It wasn't my intention to be a dick. And I said, well, we're way past that. But since you bring it up out of curiosity, what's the intention behind randomly sending 2 to 3 messages a month? Boredom? Because again, he's initiating these conversations. And then I would respond and then he would just stop. So he goes, no, I'm not bored. Maybe because I thought we were friends. I don't know. I guess I won't. And I said, again, my friends don't say hi and then not respond for weeks and then use the excuse they're busy. Goes on a little longer. And then he finally goes, this is the ultimate. I'm like, I've never had someone say, like, I almost am impressed by what a douche he is. He goes, I really don't know what to say to you. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted and still don't. I had some shit I needed to sort out. He probably had a girlfriend. Sorry for blowing you off. Was kind of hoping we could keep it chill till next Coachella. But doesn't look like you're into that.
No, no.
I read that. I was like,
to that.
I was like, you're joking.
That's so douchey.
Who, does that normally work for you? Do you have like music festival girls that you're like, hey, I'll just text her, hey, once a month to just like keep her on the line until a year late?
That is absurd.
But I feel it
continues.
I feel like it's not over. The worst part has not even happened.
Okay, continue.
Prepare yourself.
So again, when we had met him, he was very aware that I don't have like millions of followers, and I'm definitely not like your standard. Like I'm an influencer. Like it kind of all happened by accident.
Right.
Taking advantage of it now, but whatever. He knew from day one. So, and he didn't seem like he was someone that was like trying to like, and I don't, no one ever uses me for followers because that's not something they're really going to get from me. So then that's June 2019. October, I get a message from him. But a few months before this, someone had brought it up and I had read them these messages and I went to his profile and I clicked on a new handle that was in his just like his Instagram bio. Don't remember what it was called. Don't want people to look it up. Please don't look it up. Anyone, if you're listening or watching, please leave them alone because I don't want to have to deal with it. But it's a new company he has started. I click on the company and you know how you can see it's like follow back if they're following you. So not only is he following me still after we've had like multiple like arguments, but his new company is also following me. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird, but whatever. Guess maybe he thought that it would help his, I don't know. October rolls around. Hey, Lily. Hope all is well. I have something I want you to try out. What's your address? Literally, my last thing from him is him saying, keep it chill till next Coachella that I never responded to. And he's like, hey, I want to send you something. And then I didn't respond. So that's October 28th. November 3rd, he goes, turns out it's really hard to send something when you don't have an address to send to. I found that out recently. To which I responded, I'd assume it's pretty hard to send something to someone who doesn't want it as well. And he goes,
oh my God, that's good.
Why so harsh? Did I wrong you somehow?
And I'm like, he's a sociopath.
I'm like, okay, sir,
I feel like
up.
I know this guy. Like,
you might.
And then as if that, and then I didn't respond. I was like, are you kidding? Literally scroll up. Yes. Like I can't even handle you. June 6th this year. Hey, are you still in SoCal? Are you kidding? You really think like, oh yeah. Want to hang out? Like what? No.
A little like. I feel as though you left out the most important part, which is like, tell I me. Think he wanted you to do like promote his product.
Oh well, sure. That was, well, I mean, obviously, but that was the whole thing is like, I am like, was this whole thing, this like long game of him trying to get, it's like, because he would have, by the time he had like launched the new thing, he would have already been doing it at Coachella. So it was like, oh, this girl has some followers. She can help me.
Right. And like, how do you know when you're going up to someone who's waiting for the bathroom that they have followers? Like, how calculated was this whole thing?
Well, but he found out very, very quickly. Like, I would say within the first 30 minutes, because it's like, oh, well, what do you do? And then I'm literally like there with my like multiple cameras around me too and stuff. So,
right.
So I don't know. I think that that would have been a little calculated to have him be like trying to seek out people. But also it is worth noting that he did not have VIP and he was sneaking into the VIP section every time he was in there. We still to this day don't know how he did it because he was getting in faster than we were. But he was an interesting character.
For sure.
He seems like the worst.
He is the worst.
The fact that he literally keep it chill till next Coachella as if that was like a very valid, like, yeah, like I thought we would just hang out next.
But here's the thing. I guarantee you, because I was there, he was very like fun and he was really cool to hang out with. Totally.
Oh, and also the
time.
Reason
very
the reason
looking.
we didn't think he had a girlfriend because he had posted a picture of me and him on his Instagram.
Huh?
Yes. Like during Coachella. And it was like, he seemed so into it. Like I was always very like, I don't know. And then it was like, okay, I guess. Cool. And then,
oh my God.
He seemed
moral
way
of the story. Don't meet people at music festivals. Unless you're being set up by friends.
Well, it was so weird because that is so not something that happens to me. And it was just like, did that really happen? Like, and it was so like, oh, you seem lonely or like sad, but or fun, but lonely. And I'm like, what is this a movie? But then it turned punchline of the movie.
For sure. I think it works for him. He seemed like there's a lot of girls out there who would be like, sure, I'll be your Lollapalooza girl. I'll be your whatever festival girl or whatever.
He wasn't hot though.
It's like hoes in different area codes, but yes. Like girls in different festivals.
Exactly.
Clearly. I've never had someone be so blatantly a douche. Just really, he's very upfront about it and doesn't seem to think there's anything wrong with it.
I feel like this story is not over. Like, there's high chances based on his texting history that he will reach out again. And I want an update.
In June.
For sure he will.
And the not responding, you know it's killing him.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the things follow him back?
I still follow him, and I'll, like accidentally, like, his story will start playing, and I'll usually, like, swipe up. But he deleted the picture of us.
Oh, savage.
Like,
oh
I didn't, gosh. But he untagged himself from my picture.
Interesting.
What an idiot.
Well, Lindsay, it's time for us to move on to the final segment of the show. It's very exciting. It's called Share Well. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Let's do it.
So long, share well.
I hate us so much more now.
Okay, so in the final segment of the show, we like to leave things on a good note and say farewell, sharing something. We know it's like the most annoying name of all time. But anything that's brought you joy this week, it could literally be like a puppy you saw or like world peace, which isn't happening, but it can be something small or big. So Lil, do you want to kick us off?
I kind of want to share what we were talking about before we started.
Which is, go.
Well, I've been in the deepest Jeffrey Epstein wormhole and more recently Ghislaine Maxwell. Well, imagine you're sitting on a couch at 3 a.m. looking at every Ghislaine Maxwell YouTube video that is getting recommended to you, and you see one about her having some friend / confidant that is revealing new information, and you click on it and you're like, she looks familiar. And you realize that you went on a brand trip with her 2 years ago in Puerto Rico and have literal footage of her being next to you and all these pictures. And I'm like, that's Laura. And then all of a sudden her lower third came up and it says Laura. And it just, my brain has been exploding ever since.
Oh my God. Did you reach out to her and ask her for all the details?
Absolutely not. I was on
to give a little context. One, I don't think she knows Ghislaine Maxwell. Two, there's several interviews. She's reached out to a lot of tabloids, specifically Piers Morgan really ripped her apart. She, I don't think, knows anything.
So she's just doing this for publicity.
She's been involved in quite a bit of illegal activity, come to find. And just also was a freelance journalist that happened to go on the same trip with us. And I
know
she was memorable because I literally saw her face and then saw the name. And I was like, and it was her.
We'll send you some links after.
Please do. Please do.
What about you, Lindsay? What's brought you joy this week?
So actually, my friends, I got to see my best friend and her husband, and they like outside in a safe social distancing way, and they brought cards, playing cards, and they taught my boyfriend and I the best card game.
What?
Of all time. I think it's called like 313 or 3.
You're like, I don't know what it's called.
Honestly, I don't know the name. It's the name is a couple different numbers with threes in them. But oh yeah, maybe it's 0313 or whatever. It doesn't matter because it's the most fun game ever. It's hard to explain it, but to give you a condensed version, it's like you start with threes and you go up to king, and three acts as like a zero with the cards, and you have to, whoever gets like zero, like you have to get the lowest score. You're dealt a few cards and you have to get the lowest score every time. The point is that I started my first round of this game, I won and I was like on cloud nine. Second round, lost horribly. Ever since then, please knock on wood for me, I've won every time. So we love this game. We love a game where we win.
Exactly. You know? What's up
for
grabs?
Especially right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys playing for anything or just like the honor of winning?
No, but maybe we should up the stakes.
I think you should. Go there.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to need you to send us some kind of like formal rule set because as great as that explanation was, I don't know.
I know. It took me like 10 explanations to really understand it, but I'm going to send it to you after this.
Is it just two people required?
You can play with two people or more. Yeah.
Interesting.
Not alone.
It's not solitaire.
You can play alone. I don't really know how it works, but I'm sure it could work.
I'm terrible at cards. I'm terrible at anything with guidelines and rules. I'm just like, this feels right. Can we just play for fun?
Right.
Mine is like, feels a lot less important now after hearing both of yours. But yesterday, I know you're a food person too. And I know actually you and Lily have similar eating habits. Because you don't like
are you a five-year-old too?
Five-year-old eating.
Yeah. Cheers. My good red Mountain Dew.
So yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day as we're filming this. Mm. It's July 30th. So July 29th is National Chicken Wing Day, which is like a huge holiday for all of us, maybe you as well. And I have just discovered for the first time the ranch at Wingstop. Specifically, is actually the best condiment I've ever sampled in my entire life. Quote me on that. There's something about like salad dressings made at restaurants that I love, right? But I find it really hard at fast food restaurants to get like a solid condiment. Right. And this ranch is so worth your time, so worth your energy, and dipping a wing into it just makes it that more pleasurable. It's the little things, people.
But I have a question because I personally am not a big ranch fan, but like ketchup, unless you're going to somewhere healthy where it's going to be like organic ketchup or like no sugar added, I feel like it's pretty much monopolized that it's either Heinz or Hunt's, and I claim to be able to know the difference, but I can't. Does ranch differ a lot from place to place?
Definitely. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know because I don't eat it.
I didn't realize that about ranch either. Every time I've had ranch, no matter where I am, it tastes the same to me.
It's such a distinct taste. Mm-hmm.
So the thing I like about this ranch, it's definitely homemade. It is not from a container. There was like a little essence of herb to it, which I loved. And the other sweet surprise was that
it was actually weed ranch and Gosselin just accidentally got high.
Still feeling the effects of it. It wasn't super thick, which I ended up liking. It was more like a ranch soup. So you could really get a lot, like a big amount, a large dollop of yeah, it onto the wing.
I think you lost me at ranch soup.
Same.
Now I'm a little disturbed by the ranch, but I'm very happy that it brought you joy this week.
It did. It did. I'm now just looking for like the blue cheese counterpart, and I feel like my life will be totally complete. Nothing else to do.
Nothing else to look for.
Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on our show. And for people who have not heard of you, who are living under a rock, who do not care about relationships, and they should, where can people find you? Because you also have like 75 million Instagram accounts.
Oh, too many.
It's a lot.
You can follow me at We Met at Acme. You can find my podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, We Met at Acme. And you can follow my personal Instagram, which is just LINDZMETZ, or my food Instagram, which is Don't Expect Salads, which Lily, you need to check out because you would
absolutely
love that.
Also, I have a question. Once the world hopefully eventually opens back up and we come to New York, will you take us to Acme?
Obviously, we will roll into Acme VIP.
Oh, love it. Yes, I'm excited. And then I will meet my future husband.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Success story.
And then we'll get married
on your podcast.
Yeah, no, but Lily, I do some like amateur matchmaking. So I'm going to keep you on the list.
Oh my gosh.
I'm very available.
Stay tuned.
This is exciting.
I know.
This is very exciting. Well, Lindsay, we just have one final thing to tell you before you go. We wrap up our show like this every single time, and it's just creepier and creepier since we're not in the same studio. But 1, 2, 3.
Thank you for sharing. I don't like to do it as much with people we haven't met in real life because it doesn't. It's not funny.
It just feels a little culty, you know?
It always feels culty, but...
No, it was like the two twin girls in The Shining, like, driving around.
It's funny you mentioned that because it's not the first time we've had that reference.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.